All right, 1 Peter chapter number 1, look with me in verse number 15. It says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written," read this part with me, "be ye holy, for I am holy." Okay? And so we're going to launch from there and just follow along as we go on this little bit of journey here about our next thing that we're going to talk about. So let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for church. God, I pray that you would help me now as I speak. Give me the words to say. Help us, Lord, to just hear what you have for us today through your word. And Father, I do pray that you would bless, Lord, these folks. God, I pray that you would just give them a wonderful, wonderful day, and thank you for them. And God, thank you for our church, Lord. It's just fun to get together and have church together. So now bless. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. And so if you look here in verse number 16, okay, notice it says this. It says, "Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." Okay. So Peter, when he says it is written, is quoting Leviticus chapter number 20. And verse number 7. And so some may say that the Old Testament has no bearing upon our lives. But if that is a true statement, that the Old Testament has no bearing on our lives, then Peter would have been wrong for quoting him. And so he was going back to the Old Testament saying, in the Old Testament, it is written what? Leviticus 20, verse number 7, what? Be holy, for I am holy. And so then he comes over and Peter re-says it to everybody. And he says, okay, God said it in the Old Testament. And guess what? It also applies to you today. And that is what? Be holy, for I am holy. And so God was teaching us that his holiness is a timeless truth, and that God wants us to be the same, that is what? Holy in all manner of conversation. You notice there in verse number 15, he says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in what? In all manner of conversation." Now, the word, you understand the word conversation is not just me and somebody talking to one another, and you say, well, you're supposed to be holy in how you speak. Yes, but all manner of conversation is what? It's dealing with our lifestyle. What does that mean? In everything that you do, God says you should be holy in all manner of conversation. And so he was teaching us that that God's holiness is timeless, and that he wants us to do the same thing, and that is be holy in all manner of conversation. And so God calls all of us to personal holiness. To deny the necessity of personal holiness is to deny Scripture and the vast portions of Scripture designated to it. Okay? Did y'all catch that? God calls us to personal holiness. To deny the necessity of personal holiness will be to deny Scripture and the vast portions of Scripture designated to it. Now, I want you to look at some scriptures with me, and we're just looking at a handful of scriptures that would lend itself to that. Go to 2 Peter chapter number 3. And verse number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 1. I'm sorry, verse number 11. 2 Peter chapter number 3, and look with me in verse number 11. It says this, "Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all what? In all holiness, in all holy conversation and godliness." Okay, go to Romans chapter number 12. Ready? We're going to look at several scriptures here. Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12, and once you get there, we're going to look in verse number 1. It's a famous verse. A lot of you would say you probably could quote it. Okay, so Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1. What does he say here? He said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice," and what's the next word? Holy. Holy and acceptable unto God. God, and so, which is your reasonable service? Go to 2 Corinthians, okay? So you're in Romans, just skip over a few books to 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7 and verse number 1. It says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit," and doing what? Perfecting what? Holiness in the fear of God. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 7. Okay. A little short little verse, but there's a whole lot of power in the one little verse that you have here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 7, it says what? God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but what has he called us unto? Holiness, right? Okay, and so then look with me in one more verse, and I'm sorry if I'm going a little bit too fast for some of you. Titus chapter number 2. I'll try to slow down. I'm excited about getting to the message, okay? Titus chapter number 2. And look with me in verse number 3. Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 3. This is just talking to a specific group of people. It says, the aged women likewise that be in behavior as becometh what? Holiness, right? And so here's the thing. To me, this is just a small portion, okay? Could I go on and on and on and find so many more scriptures that would lend itself to God says to me, I should live holy? Amen? Right? Okay? And so it is clear to me that God calls all of us to live godly and holy. And also, if you look at Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 11, I want you to notice something here. It says this in verse number 11 of the chapter that you're in. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And then what is the grace of God that brought salvation that appeared to us? What does it do? It teaching us that what? Denying what? Ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. What does that mean? After I got saved, guess what there is a call to? There's a call for me to live righteous and to deny ungodliness in this world. Would we all agree with that? Say amen. Amen. Okay, so the Word of God is full of clear commands and principles that tell us so. You can just write these down. I'm going to turn to them. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 3, it tells us we're supposed to abstain from fornication. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 11, abstain from fleshly lusts. 1 Peter 3:10, refrain your tongue from evil. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lusts. That's a bunch of things that God says, I don't want you doing these things. But then the truth is, ready? Romans 13:3, do that which is good, right? There's a bunch of things I don't want you to do. And then there's some things that I do want you to do, okay? And then he says this, James chapter number 5 and verse number 16, pray for one another. Right? And so we could spend a long time saying there's a lot of things that clearly says, God says to me and you, live godly in this wicked world. Amen? Okay, so now here's the thing. I believe this, that God wants us as a church to strive to live holy. But now here's the message. But not what the Bible talks about in Isaiah chapter number 65. Everybody go with me to Isaiah chapter number 65. Okay, we're going to make a big pivot here, and we're going to leave that first part, and we're going to go on to a completely different direction. Some of you probably thought, where in the world is he going? Okay, ready? We're going to make a left-hand turn. You go, I did not see that coming. All right, Isaiah chapter number 65, very end of the book. Okay, y'all there? Everybody good? Give me another moment or two. All right, Isaiah chapter number 65, and look with me in verse number 2. We'll see whether God is really pleased with this group of people that he's talking about. He said, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. It's a people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in the gardens and burneth incense upon the altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments. They eat swine's flesh, and broth of abominable things is in their vessels. Okay, so question. Do you think God's talking highly of this group of people that he's referring to? Yes or no? No. Okay, I mean, he's like laying it out. Like, I'm not okay with what they're doing. But then notice verse number 5. Everybody look at verse number 5 and catch what they say. This group of people which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me. Read that next phrase with me. For I am holier than thou. Did you catch that? There's a group of people that looks at somebody else and says, you go stand over there. Don't come near me. Why? I'm holier than you. Are you with me? I do believe this, that all of us should strive to live holy.
but not get to the place that you think, in my holiness, I'm holier than thou. You with me?
Yeah.
We can find ourselves, ready? I have this list of things that I don't do. And I have this list of things that I do. And because of that, Julius, you sit back there. Don't come near me. Why? Because I'm holier than you. Are you with me? Okay. That is not the purpose of personal holiness. So that you can look at somebody across the aisle and say, I'm holier than them. Okay, that is not the purpose. Okay, and so okay, so here we go. Let me tell you what the quest for personal holiness should never be. Ready? Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Now we're going to get ready to do some preaching. Okay, all right. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, and look with me in verse number 12. Second Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 12. I want you to look at it with me. It says this. It says, ready? It says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not what? Wise. What is that? I am comparing, ready? I am comparing my personal holiness to Cliff's personal holiness. And what I came to conclude is, I am holier than thou. Now, here's the thing. Ready? Your personal quest for holiness is not a competition. Catch that? It is not a competition. It's not a competition with another Christian. Right? It is not a competition with another family. It is not a competition of Good Shepherd Baptist Church with what? Another church, right? Oh, yeah, that church over there, they're not as holy as we are. That family, they don't have the same standards and convictions that we have. Our family is far more holy than their family. That is not what the personal quest of holiness is to become a competition with the brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Because here's what happens. Watch this now. Okay? And that is this, okay? If it becomes a competition of who can be holier than the next group, in so doing, you will find yourself creating standards and convictions that God doesn't even know about. You with me? You'll find yourself creating standards and convictions that God doesn't know about, and what you'll do is you will fall into a trap of the life of a Pharisee who took commandments of men and taught them so emphatically that people believed that they were a doctrine of God. If you look at Mark chapter, you don't have to go there, but if you were to go over to Mark chapter number 7, Jesus uses this statement. He said this. He said, you taught commandments of men as if it were doctrine. What was that? I preached it in such an emphatic way that you went home and thought it was a commandment of God that you had to obey. And really, at the end of the day, is what? It was simply a tradition of man or something that I made up that I then preached in such a way that you walked out of here and thought, we better go ahead and do that because that sure sounded like that's Bible. Are you with me? And what we can find ourselves doing is we can find ourselves high and lifted up in our mind because me, myself, or my family, or my church has higher standards and convictions, and then we become holier than thou, so everybody else goes stand somewhere else from us. Y'all doing all right?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen? Now, ready? I'm gonna help you play this out with me. Julius, why don't you come up here for a second? Let me use you as an illustration. We're not going to pick on you. Okay. If I did, I love you. Okay.
Good man.
Ready? Come, guys. Come stand next to me, and we are going to do what we're not supposed to do, and that is we're going to get into a spiritual competition of I'm holier than you. All right? I'll do all the talking for both of us here. Okay. Ready? And one day I'll preach this whole message. I believe that alcohol has no place in a Christian's life. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay? So, ready? I believe that alcohol has no place in a Christian's life. So, Julius, I don't drink. And so Julius looks back at me and says, well, not only do I don't drink, but I won't go to a bar or sit at a bar. Okay? I don't drink. I won't sit at a bar or go to a bar. But I also won't even go to a restaurant that has a bar. Okay? So then Julia sits there and goes, wait, I don't drink. This is Julia saying to me, I don't drink. I won't go to the bar or sit at the bar. Matter of fact, I won't even go to a restaurant that has a bar. And I won't even go to a restaurant that serves liquor. Okay? So then I look at you and say, well, Julius, I don't drink. I won't go to a bar or sit at the bar. I won't go to a restaurant that has a bar. I won't go to a restaurant that serves liquor. Matter of fact, I won't go to an establishment that sells liquor. And so then Julius sits there and goes, And then he goes, well, Pastor, I don't drink. I won't go to a bar or sit at the bar. I won't go to a restaurant that has a bar. I won't go to a restaurant that serves liquor. I won't go to an establishment that sells liquor. And, Pastor, I won't watch TV shows or movies that have liquor in it.
You won't watch anything.
Well, I need to top that. I won't go to a bar. I won't drink. I won't go to a bar. I won't sit at a bar. I won't go to a restaurant that serves liquor. I won't go to an establishment that sells liquor. I won't watch it on TV. Matter of fact, I won't even own a TV. Because, you know, I wouldn't want to possibly see a commercial that possibly makes me see it. So then he goes like this, you know, he's doing a good job. He's sitting there, okay, fine. Ready? Wait, hold on. So Julius goes home and he goes, boy, Brother Westall's one up on me right now. Wait, I got it. I don't drink. I won't go to the bar or sit at the bar. I won't go to a restaurant with the bar. I won't go to a restaurant that serves liquor. I won't go to an establishment that sells liquor. I won't watch TV shows or movies. I won't even own a TV. And I won't go to an event or in a business sponsored by liquor. Wow. You won't see me at Busch Gardens. You won't see me at a race. Why? Because there's a car that goes around out there that might actually advertise liquor. And I say, you know what? I won't even go to a family reunion if somebody might have liquor there. Then Julius tops it off. Ready? Watch this now. Julius tops it off. You ready for this one? I bought an acreage in the middle of nowhere to raise my own meat, grow my own vegetables, have no electricity or cell phones. We never have to come to town for anything because we wouldn't want to risk the possibility of seeing liquor and having our conscience defiled by the heathen, because we definitely are holier than everyone. And then I come up and say, and how do you plan on fulfilling the Great Commission?
Man.
You with me? What does that become? Nothing more than a competition. That somebody says something that you think, wow, boy, they're a little bit more holier than me now. And we find ourselves getting caught into a trap that takes us way out into the middle of, ready? I'm going to debunk that whole thing right there. When we go back to the message about friendly, Jesus' reputation was a friend of sinners and who? Wine. Spivers. Because what did he do? He went and sat down and ate with them. If they were considered wine bibbers, what was on the table when Jesus sat down and ate with them? What do you do with that?
Yeah.
You with me? What do you think? Jesus blows it all out of the water when he goes, you know what? Your holiness that you think you're holier than the other person has kind of got a little foolish.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Julie. She did a good job. Appreciate that.
Pastor, you left out the Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah. Well, at our family, we DVR it so we can fast forward them so we don't have to watch it. And we don't even watch the halftime, okay? Because we dead sure are holier than, okay. Are you doing all right when I say all that?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Do I want people to say, those people at that church live godly? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Yes. Because I think there's plenty of scriptures that say, we're called to that. But what I don't want is somebody to come in here and feel like they sit upon their thrones as holier than everybody else.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And I don't feel very comfortable there.
Sickening.
You with me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, let me give a disclaimer here. There's a little disclaimer, a little side note. A standard of operation of a business or a company or a church is often different from what we would call personal standards. Look, all three of my kids at one point or another worked at Fairway. And when they worked at Fairway, they were handed a handbook. And when they were handed a handbook, it was like, you got to wear black pants and you got to wear black shoes and you can't have white on it. And if you're a girl, you can't have a nose ring. And I read all through all that stuff, and it was just what you would call standard of operation of, as a company, this is how we're going to operate. You have to punch in at this time, and all the different things that came with any type of company that you're a part of, there's going to be standards of operation. But here's what, watch this now. One of the mistakes that we make is we take the standard of operation of a Bible college, or we take the standard of operation of a church, and then we come along and we make it sound like, and you have to live by it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a difference between a church saying, on our platform, we're not going to have. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to tell you this. There'll be certain things that I'll say, look, we're not going to have a deacon, like, be a deacon and then smoke a cigarette out there. No, it's like, well, no, just, you know, just don't be. Well, there'll be some things that we'll say, that's not going to be okay that you come to church half drunk and teach Sunday school. We're not going to do that. You follow me? We're not going to have nakedness on the platform. You with me? Okay. Because I think that's holiness. But here's the thing. How a person is expected to dress here, or how a person is supposed to expected to dress here, that is called standard of operation. You with me? But the problem is when standard of operation becomes, and that's how you have to operate your home as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we have a problem. Because then it becomes what? We are holier than everybody.
Yeah.
And we're not going to come across to people as we're holier than thou. And so, at some point in the near future, I'm going to preach and teach on why we call it personal standards and personal convictions. What's the first word? Personal. Right? God may tell you something different than he tells you, different than he tells them. And here's the thing. At the end of the day, you're not supposed to act more holy than him who's acting more holy than her. Okay? At the end of the day, we all have a personal walk with God that brings us to the place that God says, I'm calling you in this particular area.
Yeah, man.
Now, so I want you to understand that I'm not just saying, everybody do that which is right in your own eyes. Picture a company that operates that way. Come to church when you want. I'm sorry, come to work when you want. Punch out whenever you feel like it. Do the job however you want to do it. Dress up. No, there are companies that are going to say, this is how we operate. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, will there be some standards of operation? Yes, but here's the thing. What I don't want to find ourselves doing is going down the road of, we're holier than everybody else. Amen? Now, let's apply that, and let's look at Luke chapter number 18 and see how this played out in the story here. Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18 and verse number 10. Ready? Luke chapter number 18, verse number 10. Two men went up into the what? The temple. Right? The place of worship. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Watch this now. Thus with himself. I'm going to go stand over here.
That publican can stand over there. Mm-hmm. Right? Ready? So what does it say? Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. And what does he begin to list? A bunch of things that he does not do, right? What? Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as that publican over there. He's going down the list of all the things that I, as the Pharisee, am doing or not doing that he might be doing. And then what does he go on to say? He goes on to the list of all the things that he does do, right? I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He's beginning to brag on his personal holiness that's coming across as what? I think I am holier than him. Because of what I don't do and all the things that I do do. And what was that? That's actions of a Pharisee. One is puffed up with pride and arrogancy over his wonderful spiritual holy living. And one humbly admits who he is. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Should Good Shepherd Baptist Church and its people live holy? What's the answer?
Yeah.
Yes. Holier than thou?
No.
Now, let's go back to Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 11, and we'll finish here. Before I read that verse there, I just want to make mention of this, and that is, I spent many weeks in the last month saying, how do I personally want to dress when I come to church? And I said, this is Josh Westall, minus the suit jacket. Okay? Now, everybody knows my sleeves. Okay? They're short. You will not find me unless I'm hunting in the middle of the winter in anything other than short sleeves. I mean, it'll be negative 26 degrees and I'll be in short sleeves. Okay? Because my body just runs hot. So if I were to put on a suit jacket, do you know the only reason I would put on a suit jacket? To come in here and say, look at my suit jacket. I would be baking in the thing. So the second I walk through here and let you all see me in my suit jacket, guess what I would do with it? I would take it off. I'll just say this. We were required to wear a suit jacket with the church I was at before, which is fine. And so if I had to go up on the platform and do something, I'd throw my suit jacket on, go up the platform, do what I need to do, come down, I'd take it off as soon as I sat down. And I'd ask, how many times have I asked my kids, is it hot in here? Is it hot in here? Is it hot in here? And they're like, no. I'm like, man, I'm dying. I'm in my short sleeve shirts. Okay? So here's the thing. It would only be so that I could go. Y'all see it? Okay, good. So here's the thing. Now, I noticed Brother George always in a suit jacket. And you know what? Keep wearing your suit jacket. Okay? You shall. Amen. Okay? And I thought that. I was like, Brother George is going to always wear a suit jacket. And that's a wool suit jacket. I would be dying in that thing right now. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to find me the spot that says, this is Josh Westall. I'm not holier than you, and you're not holier than me.
Amen.
Based upon the article of clothing. You with me? Amen. All right, now let's look at Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 11, and we'll finish here. Titus 2 and verse number 11, it says this. Where does this all start? It all starts in verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to who? All men. Every one of us, that journey began the day that you got saved.
Yeah.
Right? How many have ever, you know, there's that little song that we sing, the things I used to do,
I don't what? Do them anymore. Why? There's been a great change since I've been born again. The place I used to go, the friends I used to have, the things I used to look at. I mean, that list goes on and on and on. And you say, you know what? Something took place. I got saved. And the grace of God that brought salvation to me then called me unto holiness. And here's the thing. All of us at some point or another had the grace of God that brought salvation to you. And you accepted the grace of God and you got saved. And what took place? The old things were passed away. Behold, all things became what?
New.
Somebody said, you're different now. Mm-hmm. You talk different than you used to. I do. There are some of the things that you used to do. I don't see you do them anymore. You're right. What happened to you? The grace of God brought salvation to me. And here's the thing. We've all had that point in our life where we've gotten saved. That we've got saved. And here's the thing. If you've never had that happen to you, guess what? You can have that happen to you. You can say, you know what? The grace of God is coming to me and it's bringing salvation to me. Where's salvation through? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. You all remember the day that you accepted Christ as your Savior? Let me ask you a question. Are you different than you were before you got saved? Some of you are like, don't find out about before I got saved, okay? Right? Amen? And so we all experience the grace of God in our salvation. Then what? What does it say? Teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldliness. What? It teaches us. It brings us on a journey. Everybody's journey is a little bit different. Somebody who gets saved next week at church, their journey is going to be a little bit different than... Well, he's been saved 102 years. How long have you been saved, Brother George? Is that you told me 60-something?
60-something.
Yeah, 60-some-odd years, right?
No.
No?
I was not. It's less than
that. Oh, less than that.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Surely.
So, but, you know, all of us got saved at some point in our life. And look, what has God done? He's brought us on a journey. Our journeys are all different. And that's why it's dangerous when we start getting into, I'm holier than thou.
Right.
Well, you've been saved for 45 years. You've been saved for 45 days. There probably is a big difference.
Yeah.
So we don't need to sit upon our throne in our pride and say, I'm holier than thou.
Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed.